Yesterday he died for me. Yesterday he died for me. Yesterday he died for me. Died for me. This is history. Oh, friend, do you know him? Oh, friend, do you know him? Oh, friend, do you know him? Jesus Christ the Lord. Tomorrow he comes for me. He comes. Tomorrow he comes for me. He comes for me. This is victory. Oh, friend, do you know him? Oh, friend, do you know him? Oh, friend, do you know him? Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord.
It's not just a song, it's a question. Do you know him? You know, some people I've known have heard him say that, you know, for years I was playing like I was a Christian, but I didn't know the Lord. It's just an act. I hope it's not an act for anybody here. That you know him and you're serving him with all your heart. Thank you. Pray together. Thank you, Lord, again for this day. Thank you that you proved your love by sending your only begotten Son to be our Lord and Savior. Now, as we open your word again, Lord, keep our minds and hearts on your word, and may the word be rightfully divided as I present it, and may we leave this place more like our Savior than when we came. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. I've had people ask me, Jim, I'm not really sure I'm a Christian. I don't feel like it. Okay. Well, there's a lot of verses that deal with the fact of salvation. So I would like us to go through that this morning and try to get organized in our minds. What does it mean to be a Christian? How can I know that I'm a Christian? I want us to go back to Ephesians. We've been spending a lot of time in the epistles this morning, and we're going to continue to do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now, if you know anything about the Ephesian church, Ephesus was sort of like the San Francisco of the Bible times. It was a place of tremendous immorality. It was a very, very busy city right on the coast. A lot of culture, but a lot of sin. A lot of worship of other gods than our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read this. In fact, let's go back to verse 3 to get the whole sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he's telling these believers at Ephesus, our God is not the God of the world. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Continuing on that sentence, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children or sons, another translation puts it, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So one thing we have to rely on is we have been chosen. We've been chosen. Okay? Not a random drawing. It's not a lottery. We've been chosen. And when did we get chosen? It wasn't a last-minute thing, just before you're running out the door. Chosen before the foundation of the world. That's quite a while ago. But that we should be holy doesn't mean sinless, right? To be holy. Yes, sinners, Christians sin, but we are to live a holy life, holy and without blame before him in love. It tells us also in Scripture, if we confess our sin, what happens? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He doesn't hold us over our heads. Our sin is placed between the east and the west, okay? And why did he not say north and south? You ever think of that? There's no east or west pole, right? You can just keep going, okay? Go west, young man, you can just keep going, never stop. But you go so far north and you can't go any farther, you're going south again, you see. I think the scripture is so beautiful, all these things are so much wisdom in here, and sometimes we have to dig a lot to get it all. But let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans, tremendous legal document. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I think every law student should be required to memorize Romans. Maybe even if you're not a law student, you gotta memorize Romans. In fact, we used to have a family that came to our chapel. Ever heard of the Pence family from Maine? Their family used to travel to all across the eastern part of the country, and they memorized the scripture. And what they would do is they would come into a church or wherever, and they would ask the audience, what's your favorite verse of scripture? Well, my favorite verse of scripture is, and they would say a particular verse or a passage, and then all the children, there were like six children, mom and dad, I think there were eight of them all together, and they would recite whatever those verses were they were called out from memory. Boom. I'm not kidding. The entire New Testament memorized this family. Have you ever tried that? I don't know if I've memorized 10% of the New Testament. Memorized, you know, actually quoted. But they had it all memorized, the entire New Testament. And the dad had several books of the Old Testament memorized. Okay. But anyway, let's move on. We've been adopted into his family. Any of you have adopted children? I mean, okay, yeah, okay, with quotes around there. Well, we have two adopted grandchildren, one little girl and one boy. In fact, the boy is now 21, and the little girl is now 16, I think. We got her at one day, the daughter of a daughter of a missionary, is a couple from New Zealand, I think it was. And she had come to the States to go to high school, and she ended up getting pregnant and could not, of course, raise the child. She put up for adoption, and we were able to get that girl. And she's a beautiful, beautiful young lady today, and honoring the Lord, and we're thankful. We had our family reunion. Did we put her in a separate house because she's adopted? No. I don't think the word adoption ever came up. It just doesn't come up. Why? Because she's part of our family. Okay? She doesn't look quite like us, but that's okay. Is she worth any less because she's adopted? No. She was chosen. Okay? We chose her. The same with our son, our adopted son. We also have three sons of our own, and we have a daughter of our own. So, anyway. Point is, we've been adopted into the family. We become part of the family. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We read this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that word Abba means? Daddy. You know, we tend to think of God as this big, monstrous, you know, person who's ready to hit you over the head if you don't do it. No, no. Abba, we can come to him as daddy. That doesn't mean we disrespect him. But he's moved with our infirmities. He's moved with those things that are troubling us. He's not up there with a mighty hammer just ready to slam us. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't say adopted children. We are the children of God. He adopts us into his family. But we don't remind our adopted daughter that, by the way, you're adopted. She's part of the family. Hey. Okay. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Why we can't be lost? Because of his foreknowledge. Because of his foreknowledge. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, we can't be lost because we're born again. We've been born again. Go back to John chapter 10, verse 28. I know we're jumping around here. What we're talking about is why we can't be lost. John chapter 10, verse 28. Starting with verse 27, I don't like to start in the middle of a sentence. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice those two verses, it says it twice. No man, and let me say it again, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. First Peter chapter 1, verse 4. First Peter chapter 1, verse 4. You're getting your fingers busy today. I'm sorry about that, but anyway. First Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a new nature, okay? We have a new nature. I don't think the world understands this, you know. They just think it's sort of something we sort of do on Sundays. You know, we do it because to soothe our conscience or to impress somebody else that we're religious. But we have a new nature, okay? Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by not our power, but the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay. This is another great one. Why can't we can't be lost? Because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If I can find it here. There you are. I love this, the way it starts off. It starts off with a question. What? Don't you love that? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you understand that? We're bought with a price. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 30, we read that we are the part of the body of Christ. You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to think about. Even as we're gathered here, we are part of the same body. I don't mean just a body of, you know, a body of a bunch of people, but the specific body of Christ, those that know him and are part of the family. We often sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Yeah, that's right. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The world doesn't understand that. There's something about knowing the Lord and being in fellowship. That's why the scripture tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? And that's a message that should be preached to the people that aren't here today. Okay? Now, I understand some of them are not well and they're unable to come, but some maybe are just cold in heart or maybe don't care or have other priorities that are more important, or at least they think they are. Okay? We are part of the body of Christ. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 33. And we're talking about why we can't be lost. John chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. We will not, let's see, where does it say, do I have the wrong verse here? We will not be cast out again, is my note here from the verse I picked. Which cometh down, okay. 37 maybe. Oh yes, okay, I'm sorry, I got an error here. It's the first error I've made in the last 1 minute. And let me mark that down before I, okay, 37, okay. Okay. Thank you very much for that. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Okay? For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Why can't we be lost? Because we will not be cast out again. Okay? Romans 8, verse chapter 8, verse 1, we say that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. He was the one that was condemned. And what was he condemned of, by the way? What was Jesus condemned of? What was the thing that they
saying he was the Son of God.
Yeah, they called it what?
Blasphemy,
right? I am the Son of God. You can't say that. That's blasphemy. But it was the truth, so he's got a catch-22, if you want to put it in current terms. He was the Son of God, he is the Son of God, and he was simply declaring the truth, which then became illegal. and subject to death. Interesting. You don't think that God knew this ahead of time? Obviously he did. Yes, three different languages. All right, let me ask you a little trivia question. What were those three languages?
Greek, Hebrew, and
Latin. I'll leave that for your homework, okay? See you after class, okay? All right. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Just a couple more verses and we will be done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I don't know why it is, but Peter is in the wrong place in the Bible. I wish he was another place. I always go too early to look for it. All right, I found it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Start with verse 22 to get the full message, full sentence. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Man, you ought to diagram that sentence sometime, okay? It's a lot of stuff in there, good stuff, okay? The main thing is we are of incorruptible seed. What does it mean? Incorruptible means it won't rot, right? It won't go away, it won't spoil. We have eternal life, not just sort of for a while, not on probation. Eternal life. And here's one of my favorites. I've saved this one right to the end. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all of your furtherance, continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Jesus will finish what he started, basically. He's not going to just sort of sell us the product and then leave. He's going to finish what he started. And we are of incorruptible seed. We just heard about that. So, and then the verses that I quoted earlier, we'll go back to Jude verses, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude verses 24 and 25. And maybe we can recite this together in closing. Jude verses 24 and 25. You have the King James, read along, say it otherwise. Just read it to yourselves so we don't get confused. Verses 24 and 25 of Jude. Let's say it together with authority. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So, we are preserved forever. Why can't we be lost? Because we're in his hands. Okay? I think there's a lot of people out there that think, you know, they're sort of on this, walking on eggshells, wondering if they've somehow lost their salvation because of this or because of that. Okay? Not quite sure. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Okay. Yes. We have sin. Okay. We are not sinless, but if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, this book of Jude here, I don't know if you've ever gone through it, very, very powerful book. But it's about falling away. You know, it's about some pretty tough times, okay? The battles, the spiritual battles that go on. Verse 9, we talk about Michael and the archangel and all that kind of thing. There's a lot of intrigue in this book. But we're asked to contend for the faith. It doesn't mean contend to keep our salvation. Okay? We are sure we can't be lost. We've been chosen. We've been adopted because of his foreknowledge, because we've been born again, because I already have eternal life. What does eternal life mean? We have a new nature. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're part of the body of Christ. We are complete in Christ. We're saved by grace. He will not cast us out. We're of an incorruptible seed that fadeth not away. Jesus will finish what he started. What more proof do we need? Okay. Knowing Christ, we can have assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Okay, we sing that song so many times. In fact, I used to think it meant blessed insurance, but it's not. Blessed assurance, there's a difference. Okay. In fact, one of our elders used to sell insurance, and every time we sang that song, we'd have a big smile from him. But it's blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So as I wrap up this message, I just want to ask you folks, are you sure of your salvation? It's easy to play this religious game, you know, as long as everybody thinks I'm saved, that's fine. You know. But come on, be honest with yourself. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Maybe you've attended here for years, and you've never actually come to the point where you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I've never purposely invited you into my life to forgive me and to make me yours. The best way I know how right now, I want to invite you into my life and save me and forgive me of my sin and make me the person that you want me to be in Christ. I remember that day, March 6, 1948. I was 6 years old. I couldn't sleep. I'd just come home from the chapel, heard the verses over and over, even as a little child, going all the way back till I was born. Okay, they took me all the time. Just like we had this little ones here this morning. Even as a little guy, 6 years old, I knew I was a sinner. I did not have one of these life-crashing moments where all of a sudden God hit me about the side of the head. No, none of that. But I had a conscience, and I knew that I wasn't a Christian. I never asked Christ to come into my life. And I know my sister was sleeping in the other bedroom down the hall, and she could hear me. I wasn't getting to sleep. She came finally into my room. She said, Jimmy, what's the matter? I said, Betty, I can't sleep. She said, why? I said, well, I don't think I'm a Christian. She said, well, why don't you do something about it right now? You know. And I said, yeah, but it's, you know, it was like after midnight. She says, that's okay. Why don't you go down and wake up Dad? So I did. I went downstairs where Mom and Dad were sleeping. Knocked on the door. My dad woke up, came to the door. He said, yes, Jimmy. So I told him my situation. I'm so thankful my dad didn't say, listen, why don't we do it in the morning? He got up out of bed, got down on his knees next to that big bed. And we prayed together, and I invited Christ into my life that night. March 6, 1948. I'll never forget that date. And the verse he read to me, among other verses, I do remember this one, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are we saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And that night, Christ came into my life. Have I made any mistakes? Yes. Does God forgive? Yes. And he leads and guides and gives wisdom. And I know for sure, as we've talked about this morning, that I have eternal life. Okay. And I trust every person here will be with me in heaven. Isn't God a wonderful God? I'm just so thankful. What a privilege it is to be with you today. May God bless you. I have to leave right after the meeting here. We've got guests at our home that came in earlier today. So I've got to be with them and help my wife out and so on. But I'm so thankful for this ministry here and for all your leadership in this town. And I pray that your numbers will grow and that you'll grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer together. But Father, we thank you for this chapel. Thank you for Oxford and for its testimony here. Pray for the leadership. Pray for all who are part of this body. And we use the word body because we are part of a body of Christ. And Lord, each one of us has a role to play. And may we all be involved in serving you and serving each other and reaching out to reach others for Christ. Lord, we thank you for this first day of a new week and help us to use it to your glory. For we pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.